Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Let me read to you, first of all, from 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 12, and reading through the end of the chapter. This is God's word. "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal, or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Yesterday, you heard a wonderful message. Those of you who were in chapel yesterday heard a wonderful message from Pastor Brian that included a meditation from Psalm 119. But he talked about the importance of God's word and the treasure that we have by having the scripture in our own language. And he talked about a couple of the reformers, Tyndale and Luther. Didn't go into great detail. He'll say more about Tyndale at some other time, and I'll say more about Luther at some other time. But the emphasis was on the fact that we are so blessed to have God's word in a language that is ours, and the ability to read it. You can have a copy of it yourself that is your own Bible, and you can read and understand it. The reason for the explosion of literacy in Western civilization was because Christians wanted others to be able to read the Bible. If you don't learn any other book, and I hope you'll learn many, but if you don't learn any other book, you need to know the contents of this one. And the reason is because the contents of this book point you to not just a concept you can know or a bunch of concepts you can know, they point you to the person of Jesus Christ. And because he has conquered death and is alive right now, you can know him. Not just know about him, you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But as we look at the Reformation this month, as we learn about various people who were used by God in the Reformation of the church over a period of centuries, it wasn't just a period of 2 years or 10 years or 100 years. It is the ongoing work of God to call his people to the truth of his word. And we are still to be looking to the scriptures and not to tradition in order to see what is true. But as we look at this Reformation history, we see person after person, men and women, who were heroes for their courage in putting their lives on the line, many of them martyred, rather than back down from the truth. They not only believed the truth, they proclaimed the truth, and they would not forsake the truth because they wanted others to know the truth. And that is why we study their lives as examples for us. Some of you are memorizing or have memorized the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, 10 through 12 in the Sermon on the Mount says this: "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Now notice what Jesus says. You're blessed if you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. You are in a good position if you're suffering because of your faithfulness to the truth. And Jesus reminds his listeners there early in his ministry, in the Sermon on the Mount, he reminds his listeners that the people who are persecuted in Jesus' day are not the first. This is the way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. If you look all through the Old Testament, we find many examples of people who suffered for the truth. One of my favorite stories as a child was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who got thrown into the fiery furnace in Babylon. Why would you want to hear about people getting thrown into the fiery furnace? Because they didn't burn, which absolutely confounded the king, Nebuchadnezzar, because he could not only see that they were walking around, but that there was a fourth person with them who looked like a son of the gods. The Son of God is who was there with them in the fire. They were persecuted, and they were given the opportunity to back down. He said, if you'll go ahead and bow down to this idolatrous image, we'll let you off. And they said, we don't have to do what you say when you're telling us to do something wrong. What would it take for you to say, no, I will not do that wicked thing, even though not doing it may cost me my life? It's not the temptation that's the problem. It's the lack of trust in God that would cause someone to say, if it costs me my life, it costs me my life. But I'm not going to back down from the truth. Blessed are those who are persecuted. If that happens to you because you're persecuted for your faith in Christ, rejoice. Rejoice. I'm supposed to feel good about it? No, you're not supposed to feel good. You're supposed to give praise to God. Rejoice in him. In Matthew 16, verses 24 through 27, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done." Jesus said, If some of you would like to be on the A team, you need to take up your cross and follow me. Is that what Jesus said? He said, no. The only way to follow me is to lay your life down. The only way to follow me is to take up your cross and follow me. He's talking about a readiness to die. And in fact, he describes our daily life as Christ followers as being one of denying ourselves, of dying to self in order to follow him. That means I have to choose between doing what I feel like doing and doing what I know is right.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and He's holding out His hand.
How many of you ever feel like doing something that you know you shouldn't do? Could I see your hands? I definitely fit that category. I feel like doing this, but I know I should do this. Choose. David Jeremiah said the hardest thing about the Christian life is it's so daily. He's right. You don't just decide one time and then that's it. From then on, it's all just coasting. No, day after day after day after day. Well, Pastor Wood, you are not making a very good case for my wanting to follow Jesus. It sounds hard. It is hard. In fact, apart from the Holy Spirit, it's impossible. But we don't live apart from the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit has come to indwell His people. And He gives us the power to do what is right. So Peter tells the Christians, don't be surprised that you're suffering. This is exactly what you were told to expect. Here's today's main point. The truth is costly in this life. Lies are costly forever. The truth is costly in this life. If you embrace the truth and live in accordance with the truth and share the truth with others, it will cost you. It'll cost you friends. Sometimes family will despise you and ridicule you and persecute you. But that's suffering in this life. What did Jesus tell us in Matthew 5? Rejoice, because great is your reward in heaven. What did He tell us in Matthew 16? He says, I'm going to come and make things right. In John 15, beginning in verse 18. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first, Jesus says. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father as well. Anybody who is rejecting Jesus, but claiming they're still spiritual, they may be spiritual, but it's not the Holy Spirit. It's not the Spirit of God. You determine your relationship with God by your relationship with Jesus Christ. If you are trusting in Him, you are reconciled with the Father. If you are not trusting in Him, you are at war with the God who rules the universe. If you think that you have what it takes to say no to God and come out on top, you're badly mistaken. God warns, now is the day of salvation. You have the opportunity to repent, to turn from sin, to not only ask forgiveness, but to ask for new life. God offers eternal life. But if you say, I don't need it, I don't want it, I don't even believe in it, well, you will find out. You will find out. Have you ever seen somebody who thought the electricity was off and they discovered that it wasn't? They can literally fly across the room because the power of that electricity, whether they live or whether they die, is enough to knock them through the air in a way that they couldn't jump on their own. There's power beyond human power. That is nothing in terms of power compared to the power that created the universe. You and I have said no to the God who created all things. And instead of just going and squashing us, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whoever trusts in Him will not be destroyed, but will have everlasting life. Because God didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but so that through Him the world might be saved. He's offering eternal life to those who trust in Him. Well, how much do I need to trust Him? Well, Jesus says, with everything. You've got to be willing to let go of this life in order to receive eternal life.
Pastor Wood, now you're making it sound like it's works salvation.
No, not at all. I'm not saying you've got to do this and this and this and this and then God will accept you. I'm saying you have to realize you cannot save yourself and ask Him to save you. But if He's going to save you, He tells you what it's like. He tells you what it looks like. He's in charge, not you. You don't just say, okay, I trust you, but I'm not going to do what you say. Have you ever been with somebody who asked you for advice and you gave it to them and they did the opposite? Has anybody here ever experienced that? I know the adults have. A bunch of you young people have experienced that too. Somebody said, what should I do? And you said, oh, well, don't do that, do this. And they said, no, I want to do this. Now, I'm not going to ask if you've ever gone to someone for advice and asked what you should do and then done the opposite of what they told you. I'm not going to ask that. But God isn't giving advice. God unapologetically gives commands. And He has every right to do so because He's God. And He says, do this and live. Do this and you'll die. The truth is costly in this life. The reformers took a stand for what is true. They took a stand for the scriptures. And it cost many of them their lives in this world. Many of them died. I have at least one ancestor who was burned at the stake because of his faith in Jesus Christ. But you know what? I'm going to see that fellow again. I'm not going to see all my ancestors again because some of them were not Christians. But I'm going to see that one. So are you saying the only way that a person can be saved is to be martyred? No. I'm saying if a person is saved, that person has got a new life in Christ, and therefore they don't have to be afraid to die. If you are trusting in Jesus Christ, Charlie Kirk, not long before his death, was saying that a Christian does not have to be afraid to die. And Charlie didn't want to die that day, didn't expect to die that day, but he was not afraid to die that day. Your life will either be surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord, or you're already dead under the wrath of God, according to John 3. Jesus offers life, but you need to put your trust in him. Cliff Connectley tells a story that my dad used to tell when I was a kid about a fellow who had a wire or rope, a cord, whatever, stretched across a portion of Niagara Falls and amazed the crowd by walking from one side to the other. Wow. They all applauded. Then he said, how many of you believe I can do it with a wheelbarrow? Oh, based on what you've done, maybe. Okay, let's see it. So he went across with the wheelbarrow. Everybody applauded. It's tremendous. Then he said, how many of you believe that I can do it with a person in the wheelbarrow? Well, now a bunch of them thought, based on what he's done, yeah, I think so. And he said, okay, who's going to volunteer? Nobody. Nobody volunteered. Because moving from the theoretical, he can do it, to the, I'm going to stake my life on it? No thanks. Jesus says, if anyone wants to be my disciple, he needs to take up his cross and follow me. The truth is costly in this life, but it's not because Jesus drops us. It's not because he can't get us to the other side. It's because if you trust Jesus Christ, you're going to face opposition from people who are going to be intimidated, from people who don't even understand their hostility to you. But they're motivated by their hatred of God. They may be religious, but they don't love God. Jesus said that the way they respond to him reveals heart concerning God. What does this say about your heart concerning God? Are you trusting in Jesus and in him alone? There's no other way of salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Is that narrow? You bet. Jesus said, the way is narrow. Few people find it. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Truth is costly in this life, but lies they'll cost you forever.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.